Imagine standing beneath a vast desert sky when suddenly you feel it, a presence so profound it makes your heart tremble. This is the experience of reading Rumi, the 13th century Sufi mystic whose poetry has captivated millions across 8 centuries. When Madonna cited Rumi as her favorite poet, or when Deepak Chopra declared his work essential spiritual reading, they joined a tradition of reverence spanning continents and generations. Rumi's poetry has sold over 2 million copies in North America alone, making him the best-selling poet in the United States. What mysterious power allows ancient Persian verses to resonate so deeply with modern audiences? Perhaps it's because these poems open a place of direct connection with the divine that transcends religious doctrine. In a world hungry for authentic spiritual experience, Rumi offers a feast of divine intoxication that speaks directly to the soul. In Rumi's universe, love isn't simply an emotion, but the essence of existence itself. Love is the master, he declares, describing himself as merely a straw before the furious wind of love. This isn't a sanitized greeting card sentiment, but a wild, untamable power transforming everything it touches. When Rumi writes, "In love's hands, I'm like a cat in a sack, sometimes hoisted high, sometimes flung about," he's describing the exhilarating surrender defining the spiritual path. This surrender isn't passive, but dynamic, like mill wheels turning day and night. How differently might we approach challenges if we saw ourselves as instruments of something greater? The executive facing difficult decisions, the artist confronting a blank canvas, the parent responding to a child, all could find liberation in the wisdom that true agency comes paradoxically through surrender. Through this surrender, transformation becomes possible. Through love's power, bitter things become sweet, copper turns to gold, dregs become purest wine, and pain transforms to medicine. "Stay close, my heart," Rumi counsels, directing our attention to the wisdom within rather than external authorities. This inward journey forms the core of his teaching, a departure from traditions emphasizing rules and rituals. For Rumi, the divine beloved dwells not in temples or texts, but in our hearts. This journey requires discernment. Not every sugarcane holds sweetness, not all abysses have peaks. In today's world of spiritual marketplaces, Rumi advises looking beyond flashy packaging to the substance. Be selective about where you seek nourishment. The path isn't comfortable. It demands confronting our shadows. When Rumi writes, "If rejected by the friend, recognize your own resistance," he acknowledges how we often sabotage our growth. What appears as divine rejection typically reflects our unwillingness to change. The journey culminates in discovering that the beloved we seek externally has been within us all along. "From myself I am copper, through you, friend, I am gold." We're not acquiring something new, but uncovering what was always present. The lover's sustenance comes from loving the bread itself. No actual bread is needed. With these words, Rumi guides us beyond dualistic thinking. He reveals a reality where lover and beloved dissolve into unity, where nourishment comes from the act of loving itself. "Lovers have established themselves in non-existence," he writes, referring not to emptiness, but to the spacious awareness beyond the separate self. Modern quantum physics similarly recognizes that separation between observer and observed breaks down at fundamental levels. Rumi's declaration, "I am neither Christian, nor Jew, nor Magian, nor Muslim," emerges from this non-dual understanding. When boundaries are seen as artificial, religious divisions lose their divisive power. Rumi offers recognition of the unity underlying diversity. In Look at Love, he celebrates opposites: water and fire, earth and wind, enemies yet friends. Nature demonstrates the harmony of apparent contradictions. Rather than fighting difficulties, we see how opposites complement each other. Why concern yourself with good and bad? Pay attention instead to how things blend together. Should love rejoice if I don't burn? Rumi asks. Embracing suffering is purification rather than punishment. From now on, burning becomes my purpose, he declares. For like a candle, burning makes me brighter. This perspective reveals pain's hidden purpose in spiritual awakening. Instead of asking, why is this happening to me, which breeds bitterness, Rumi suggests asking, what is this teaching me? This transforms suffering from meaningless torment into purposeful transformation. In Rumi's alchemical metaphor, base metals becoming gold represents the soul's refinement through difficulty. My heart is love's dwelling place. If love wishes to burn this house, who could forbid it? Burn this house completely. Fire only improves a lover's home. Rumi's greatest poetry emerged from his most devastating loss, Shams of Tabriz's disappearance. Rather than being destroyed by grief, he was transformed, his pain becoming the crucible for spiritual gold. This view extends to death, which Rumi sees as transformation. You're a deathless soul that can't be confined to a dark grave. You're filled with divine light. Show me your face. I crave flowers and gardens. Rumi views human relationships as mirrors reflecting divine beauty, recognizing human love as a gateway to divine love rather than rejecting worldly attachments. This perspective blossomed in Rumi's relationship with Shams of Tabriz. Writing, the face of Shamsi-Din, Tabriz's glory, is the sun whose track I follow. Rumi sees divine love manifesting through human form. Not idolizing another person, but recognizing them as a window to divine light. Instead of seeking partners who fulfill egoic needs or match cultural ideals, we might look for those who awaken our recognition of the divine. Rather than changing others to meet our expectations, we can approach them with reverence, seeking to understand the divine expressed through their unique being. Rumi acknowledges relationship challenges. Let us adore one another before we cease to exist. His solution is radical presence, meeting each other fully now rather than postponing reconciliation. Who's knocking at my door? This question begins one of Rumi's most profound dialogues, revealing the paradox of spiritual seeking. The seeker declares love while the beloved demands evidence. He demanded witnesses for my claim. I offered my tears and yellow face as proof. Rumi shows that spiritual seeking isn't finding something new, but recognizing what was always present. I will accompany you in the grave when you leave behind your worldly possessions and family. The beloved we seek has never been absent, only our perception of separation was illusory. This transforms spiritual practice from desperate striving to grateful reception. Oh, happy day when I shall die in your presence, my ruler. Like sugar, I'll melt near your sweet treasure. Death becomes not an ending, but a consummation, the dissolution of boundaries between lover and beloved. This timeless relationship permeates ordinary existence. I am the pure awareness in your heart, present in joy and despair alike. Ultimately, Rumi reveals that seeker and sought are one. Looking at myself, I no longer see my form, for within that moon, my body has transformed as fine as soul.